This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All righty, welcome to the Steve Gruber Show. It is the weekend, hot, fresh, off the grill, just for you. That's how hard we work around here. Myself, Alex Clark, he's the engineer. Driving this train from the basement. I mean, it's Alex and I oftentimes, but the producers like Ivy and Rob and all the folks who put this thing together, working for you, even on the weekends, welcome to it. Well, you may have heard an American pop star, an iconic pop star, Prince, died. I mean, how could you not hear it or know about it? CNN has made it basically a 24-hour wall-to-wall coverage of the passing of Prince at the age of 57, found in his Minnesota compound in his elevator, unresponsive. Some reports from TMZ indicating he may have had some opiate problems in the last few days, maybe an overdose. Had to stop the plane in an emergency landing last Friday in Moline, Illinois, apparently, on a trip home from Atlanta, Georgia. And I bring this to your attention. It's an important story. It's a big story. He was a huge icon, certainly a number of enormous hits in the 80s and 90s. But at some point, how much coverage is too much? I was watching the day that he was found here a couple of days ago, and it just never ended. It went on and on and on. I sat there watching CNN. They didn't break. They didn't come up for air. They didn't talk about the presidential race. They didn't talk about the civil war in Syria. They didn't talk about the Zika virus. They didn't even talk about global warming. That's how seriously they took Prince. They didn't take a break to talk about global warming, not once. And after close to an hour and a half, I finally just said, you know, that's enough. I've pretty much had all of this I can take because it gets to the point where it's absurd. Yes, he was a musical icon. Yes, he had a great impact on American society as far as the social fabric, if you will. But just because a pop icon, part of the cultural elite from the left, dies, it doesn't mean to me that all other stories are put on the back burner, that everything else becomes unimportant. Everything else just gets dumped. And to me, that's where it gets confusing. It's crazy to me how far this coverage went. Our fatuation, our infatuation, when Michael Jackson died, same thing. Whitney Houston died, same thing. We have this incredible infatuation with stardom, this Hollywood mentality. And you wonder why our kids, know so little about so much. They don't know anything because they live in an entertainment society where Prince gets wall-to-wall coverage and the Supreme Court gets 5 minutes. I mean that's what's disheartening to me, I guess. But Purple Rain apparently trumps all. And it doesn't matter that Russia is buzzing American ships with jet fighters or China's making man-made islands in the South Pacific to brand them new sovereign territory, or ISIS or Boko Haram or Al-Qaeda are turning non-believers into sex slaves. None of that matters. And like I said, at what point does it become completely absurd? He had an interesting life. And a great American story. But it shouldn't just trump everything else. That was my takeaway. Also, Friday was Earth Day, the birthday of Vladimir Lenin. A coincidence? I don't think so. By the way, that'll win you a beer at some point. Did you know Earth Day is a birthday of Vladimir Lenin, the guy that, you know, created the dictator in Russia? Oh, it is not. I guarantee it. That'll win you one somewhere along the line. And let's talk about Earth Day just for a second, because it began back in 1970. Promoted by a guy who is now serving life in prison for murdering his girlfriend, stuffing her in a trunk, and, well, basically letting her compost inside his, well, inside his apartment for 18 months. Yeah, Holly Maddox, murdered back in 1977. I'll spare you the further details, but trust me on that. The 13 worst predictions made on Earth Day in 1970 included ones like, man must stop pollution and conserve his resources, not merely to enhance existence, but to save the race from intolerable deterioration and possible extinction, said the New York Times. Population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 200 million people will be starving every year during the next 10 years. So said Stanford University biologist Paul Ehrlich in 1970. 1970, folks. You got it. 46 years ago, we wouldn't live 10. Most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born. Paul Ehrlich said this as well. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food population collision won't happen until actually until the 1980s. Let's see here. Dennis Hayes, the chief organizer of Earth Day. It is already too late to avoid mass starvation, he said in 1970. The fact of the matter is, since 1970, output and production around this world has increased many times over. The American farmer has led the way with ingenuity and hard work and better equipment and better seed and better fertilizer, better technology coming out of places like Michigan State University, Michigan Tech, Ferris State, and a variety of other places around this great state of ours and around the country. The American farmer has continued to produce more for less. The American farmer produces more food with less energy on less ground than at any time in the history of mankind. In fact, a good friend of mine told me recently that in the 1980s, if they had a perfect year, the yield of corn and beans in the mid-1980s would not compare to the amount of corn and beans produced this year in a severe drought. Understand what I'm saying. If there were a severe drought this year in the upper Midwest, the farm fields of Michigan and all the surrounding states and provinces would produce more corn, more beans, more wheat than in the most perfect years of the 1980s. Because the American farmer has benefited from American universities, American agricultural businesses, ingenuity, and hard work. Those that keep telling us the earth is falling apart and Mother Nature is dying have no idea what they're talking about. Here's another one from Paul Ehrlich, a guy who, by the way, still gets money from people. People actually listen to this guy still. Air pollution is certainly going to take hundreds of thousands of lives in the next few years alone. Well, that didn't happen. By the year 2000, if present trends continue, we will be using crude oil at such a pace there won't be any crude oil. You'll drive to the pump and say, fill her up, buddy, and he'll say, sorry, there isn't any left. So said ecologist Kenneth Watt. You know what the truth is? There's more oil today that we have found that is still in the ground than we ever even knew about back then. We have more reserves in the Green River Formation in Colorado, 4 trillion recoverable barrels, than all of the world's reserves combined. We're not going to run out of resources, and we're not going to starve to death. Man, well, the planet's in pretty good shape overall. Trust me on this. You might as well because, well, I'm right. Welcome to the weekend, my friends. It's the Steve Gerber Show.